Packers Radio Network radio station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
Give his to Jones up the middle. Right here. Breaking free. He's off to the races. Yes, it's going to be Secretary at the Belmont. No one will catch him to the end zone. Touchdown, Aaron Jones.
Pretty much blew it wide open for the Packers yesterday, Wayne, and they never looked back. What a phenomenal second half and a great game in general.
Yeah, I thought so. After a slow start in that ball game, they really kicked it into gear. I think we're starting to see, and I know it's way too early to make pronouncements on this, but it is an overreaction Monday, so we'll allow ourselves to overreact.
That's what
but
we do.
I think you're seeing the makings of a truly great offense. The scheme and what they're doing with the players they're featuring, it's just been phenomenal, guys. The first 2 weeks of the season, over 500 yards, over 40 points in Minnesota, over 488 yards and over 40 points against Detroit. That's really, you don't see that often in division matchups because division teams know each other so well. But this has been impressive what the Packers are doing offensively.
Well, we've talked about this in the past with you, Wayne. You alluded to it a lot last season. It was our first chance under a new head coach to see a little bit of a different philosophy on offense. And the Packers went for it early on fourth down in not the greatest field position. That wasn't a gimme where it's like, well, at least you pin them deep. And you always talk about the message to the team and to the offensive unit and maybe even to the opponent on that given day when you try to take care of business on a fourth down like that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The analytics in the NFL these days have told coaches, you're fourth and six or less, you go for it, because chances are you're going to make it. Unless, of course, you're back deep in your own territory, obviously. But, when you're in that kind of no man's land, you're 48 or 45 or whatever it is, even 42-yard line, it's fourth and six. Yeah, you go for it, because chances are that punt might land into the end zone, and you're not giving up, you're not changing the field position a whole lot. But I think that's what you're seeing a lot of teams across the league, I'm noticing, going for it on fourth downs. It's a trend that really began in earnest last year, and I think some of it has to do with analytics.
It was another impressive output, as we're talking about, but I want to ask you on the analytics of this. The drops still present. And Aaron, from your standpoint, I don't know if it's because it's early or, because Devontae had a little bit of an injury situation there too, but Aaron seems to be showing maybe a greater willingness to go back to a player in game who has burned him on a drop, sometimes just a series ago. He seems to have a different willingness this year to just keep peppering those guys.
Well, there are a couple of things. All right, first off, the best receiver the Packers have had in my 22 years in Green Bay is Devontae Adams, okay? Now, Devontae Adams led the team in drop passes last year. Pro Football Focus had him for 9 drops last year.
Wow.
He had one on the goal line in Minnesota this year. So drops happen, and I was watching the game last night. Some great receivers dropped the ball. It happens. Jay Sternberger was credited with 1 drop. He actually had 2 in the ball game yesterday. This is a young man they'd like to get on track and get going. And I think Aaron understands that. They did it with MVS. You look at last year, MVS started out very strong, had a couple of drops, got dinged up a little bit, missed some time, and then never got back into the flow of the offense. And guys, they have to keep these guys in the offense, okay? Because somebody drops a pass, that doesn't mean you don't go back to them, especially people like Devontae Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Because let me tell you something. Valdes-Scantling is opening up these running lanes you're seeing. He's keeping the safeties high. He's dragging coverage, even when he's not in the play as a receiver. So I think that's really important that they go back to these guys. And, yes, you're exactly right, Nick. Aaron is making a point that somebody drops a ball, he's going to try to get it back to him almost the next play.
The offense in general has just been sick. I mean, the total offensive plays yesterday, again, pushing almost 70 in that time of possession in the second half, almost 20 of the 30 minutes. They have just controlled it, and that certainly helps the defense, who is missing Kenny Clark and missing that push and missing that run D.
Yeah, and early on in the ball game, Detroit scored. It's interesting. Detroit had quite a day. They started out the first 21 plays, netted 7.1 yards per play. And 14 points. The rest of the game, 37 plays, 157 yards, 4.2-yard average, which is pretty low when you count overall plays, and only 7 points the rest of the way in the ball game. So, yeah, I think this, it's kind of complementary football when you look at it. Yeah, the offense possessing the football keeps the defense off the field, and that helps when they're on the field, then they're fresh. But, you know, I also think the defense has done a better job in recovering a little bit after some slow starts. But when I look at this Detroit thing, my gosh, that first quarter was kind of scary. And Larry and I are looking at each other like, wow, this is not good. But, boy, they seem to turn the tide slowly but surely. And the offense getting up on its horse and riding, you know, the running game and Aaron's passing, I think that also dictated a turnaround in that ball game.
You know, going back to, like, the analytics of everything and, you know, the going on fourth down and the Aaron repeatedly passing to a receiver that's been dropping for him is not the normal identity of the Green Bay Packers. So do you think there's any point of it? I feel like as a player or a coach, I would, you know, you kind of do listen to the critics and you're like, all right, you want me to do it? We're going to do it. Like, kind of, and if it doesn't work, eat it. Like, is there any part of that do you think there's a little bit of that to it?
Remember, that was Katie using that term, not Wayne. although, Katie, I'm with you. You know, I just think that they have to do what they know they can do. And you know, you've got to play through some of the drops and that type of thing. I'll tell you this, a little insight on Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't get nearly as upset over drop passes as most of us think he does. What he gets upset with is when a receiver or a back doesn't run the assignment the way it was drawn up, when there is a mental error in that way. Physical error is going to happen in this game. It's played at a million miles an hour. Things are going to happen. You're going to drop passes. Sometimes you're going to fumble. Sometimes the defender makes a great play. But it's when the mental aspect, when the player doesn't carry out the assignment or whatever, that's what Aaron gets really upset about.
Well, even though as we focus on a couple of these things, like a few of the defensive problems in the first quarter and a few drops, the end game, it's a week two. It's a 42-21 victory against somebody in your own division. Matt LaFleur still running the table in this division. And if you can survive this stuff early in the season and get a victory like this against a division opponent and continue to improve week to week, this is a dangerous football team.
Well, yeah, and you know, again, admittedly, two things about the opponents they've played, and we talked about this. The Vikings, six new starters on defense, okay? A lot of youth on that team, and this is not the year to be making changeovers. The Vikings have no alternative. They had to, but the teams that are getting off to pretty good starts this year are the teams that have been together because they did not have any off-season program and that type of thing in a short training camp. The other factor is this, teams that are banged up. Take advantage of them. And, you know, the Lions came in really banged up in that secondary and throughout that defense. And the Packers took advantage. Don't apologize for putting big numbers on the board against an relatively inexperienced Minnesota defense or new players on that defense. And don't concede anything for having smacked around a Lions team that had all kinds of defensive deficiencies due to injury. That's what good teams are supposed to do, and that's what the Packers did.
We'll talk a little bit about the Packers injury situation heading into now New Orleans next week. More Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee, the voice of your Green Bay Packers, in just a minute.
Back to Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee
on the Murphy in the Morning Show
on WIXX.
We were just laughing, talking during the break there, Wayne, about just the amazing offensive outputs that we have seen in the NFL early on, the points, the yards. It's not going to get any easier for the Packers as they go now into New Orleans. Another machine, it appears anyway. We'll get a better look at them tonight. But another tough environment. It's at least nice to have the absence of fans when you're going to a place like that.
Yeah, I think the big advantage in dome situations for the road teams in these games, and no question about it, because you know, so much, we talked about this, I think, last week, so much of football is emotion, and that home crowd gives a tremendous amount of emotional juice to the home team, at least at the outset of the game, and that's, I think, that's been hard for home teams to kind of, they have to generate their own, as the Packers have been saying, their own emotion for the game. So, yeah, this is a big break to go into a dome like New Orleans without fans.
How are we going into this game? We're going to find out a lot more, but injuries, at least we have avoided what appears to be some of the catastrophic injuries that have hit big-time players on big-time teams so far. But Davante Adams with a hamstring coming out of the game, which is always a little unfortunate early in the season to have a nagging hamstring. Corey Linsley had the hand injury. That looks like it might be all right. But Tyler Ervin in the concussion protocol now. So we're not coming out totally clean from this thing.
No, and, you know, the injuries around the league have been amazing, how many injuries there have been. You know, we were talking off the air about how, you know, you need some kind of semblance of off-season program and training camp, but more than that in preseason games. But it's not that your veterans are going to play much in preseason games anyway. I think what they're missing in the last few years now is the kind of physical contact that we used to have in training camp. And what happens is you get into this stage of the season, this early first couple of weeks of the season, and you don't have that conditioning that you can only get through hitting. And I watched the game last night, and I'm just saying, wow, these guys are not ready to play this game at this level. But that's the case across the league, and everybody is faced with that. Unfortunately, a lot of teams are getting scarred up. But Saquon Barkley could be gone for the Giants. The 49ers had about five or six guys go down, including Garoppolo, their quarterback. And, you know, this is tough. Davante Adams would be worth watching during the week. I will say this about hamstring injuries for cornerbacks, people who rely on their legs and speed. Those injuries are usually multiple week injuries. I don't know what Devontae's is. Maybe he just tweaked it a little bit and they were cautious with him because they were rolling. But I hope that's the case and Devontae doesn't miss any time. But boy, a hamstring injury on a cornerback or a wide receiver is concerning.
Yeah, thankfully we had the opportunity, we hope, to just kind of keep them out, and it wasn't that big of a deal. So we'll find out more, like you said, Wayne. We'll find out a lot more about New Orleans tonight. Enjoy that game, and we'll look forward to hearing your call down in New Orleans next weekend.
Sounds good, guys. Good to be with you. Have a good one.
Great to talk to you, Wayne. Thanks a lot.